You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Terra, Terra, look at us go. It's You're the Man Now, Dog. It's Improvised Conversation. We're doing a big check-in today. Y'all, welcome to our Patreon. I'm Dan Lippert, and this is Ryan Rosenberg to my left.
Taxidermy.
There it is. Ryan Rosenberg or Idina Menzel?
It's Adele Dazeem.
That's right. I should have known by how wickedly talented your singing
wickedly
was.
Wickedly talented. And everybody's seen it, surely. But if you haven't, I would say pause or quit the podcast now. And go look up John Travolta introducing Adele Dazeem. And I will say, you're frozen on my Zoom. I don't know if that's happening in yours.
I'm frozen
Zoom.
On mine, too.
Can you turn off your video and turn it back on?
Good idea. Stop video.
Oh, Man Dog Pod.
Oh!
And that's the new logo, folks. I hope you saw it.
There you go. I wonder if it shows up like that.
It did online.
It must, right? In the actual recording.
Yeah, it's recording whatever's on the screen, right?
Look over my right shoulder here.
The old and the new. The old and the new.
Well, I don't know what of that we'll leave in, but so what's up? We're here. It's a Monday for y'all. It's a Sunday for us. September 28th for everybody. While you're listening to this, Ryan and I will be eating pastrami sandwiches. Text chain with a couple other Jewish friends, and we about once a month say, let's all eat a pastrami sandwich together. And about once a month, it never happens. And I think tomorrow's the second time it'll happen in 2 years.
Right. I'd say it happens about once a year, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Because have we only done it once? We've done it more than once.
Maybe twice. Yeah.
Me, you, and Justin for sure, but all four of us.
Yeah.
This is the real. The real deal.
The real deal.
Pastrami meal.
Think about us eating our sandwiches while you're watching this. But now think about this episode. What's going on? It's the end of the weekend.
That's right. End of the weekend. What's happening in the news? Of course, last week was a big one. RBG. Trump says he's not going to give over the presidency if he loses. And then last night, the Lakers clinched. They're moving on to the Western Conference, the finals, the NBA finals.
Yes.
They just won the Western Conference finals. We were all watching that. Of course, we're huge basketball heads.
Oh, huge basketball heads. I missed that game, but I checked in on the scores and the stats every half hour or so.
Cool.
Just to see where the money was, you know.
Were you playing D&D?
I was playing D&D, yeah.
Nice.
We were in our campaign.
So you were playing your own game while I was watching someone else's game.
Now that is an interesting juxtaposition.
And then later that night, I watched the movie Molly's Game.
Wow, three games in one night.
What can I say? I'm a gamer.
And did you get the itch to play some poker while you were watching that?
I absolutely did. I was like, that was the next thing I was going to do was hit the text chain from that group that we used to play poker with.
Yes.
And be like, we gotta do it.
What'd you think of the movie? That's Sorkin, right?
I think so, yeah. Well, it reeks of Sorkin.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's like, it's pretty good. I like those movies that are just like, I don't know, very procedural. And then here's how it went down.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing is like, I think there's like voiceover and stuff. It's fine, you know?
It's one of those, if it was the 90s, it would be a great movie to land on while you're flipping through the channels.
Yes.
It's one of those like, oh, I could have this on and kind of turn my brain off and be entertained.
Right. Well, it's like got that good thing and that bad thing of like, it's just like every movie you've ever seen. And they're good at making movies and it's kind of cinematic, but there's also like nothing that like fresh or new about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of like another good one.
Yeah. And
there's something about that that makes it very forgettable, but also, like you said, you can always land on it. And I don't know which I value more.
They both have a value.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I want something that I'll like think about again. Like the point of Molly's Game to me, like the long and short of it was afterwards I Googled who everyone was supposed to be. Because it's all about like real Hollywood celebrities that can't like do big time gambling and are they're kind of like egotistical and assholes in the movie.
And Michael Cera is sort of supposed to be Tobey Maguire, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what they said.
Which is really funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny, too, because Michael Cera is playing like a really angry, mean version of himself, sort of. And it's really funny that, like, if that, what is he making fun of Tobey Maguire straight up? Yeah. Or is that like a, I don't know.
He just like played the character as it was written, or he's like, no, I've met the guy, I can do this. I can play this asshole.
Right, right.
That's funny that you watched Molly's Game. That's, if you had been like, guess what movie I watched last night, it would have taken me maybe 2,000 guesses to get to Molly's Game.
And I have already seen it too. I watched it again. There's something I really like about like cards and gambling, and even like, this is corny, but just like numbers. Like, I was always very into math in school, and like, I'm into like probabilities and like figuring stuff out like that. So it's dorky. But I'm always a sucker for it. Like, I've seen that movie 21 a bunch of times. It's all about card counting in Vegas, and it's like a very B movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But man, I've seen it like 3 or 4 times.
I would say you are the king of the rewatch. I don't really do a rewatch, not for any reason. But you'll rewatch stuff a lot.
I know. I think I do value more the thing we were talking about of like, just you can put it on type of thing. I think if I think about all the times I'm like taking in media, I'm not fully engrossed in it that often. I'm more like passively watching it, or, you know, doing stuff while watching something. It's rare that I'm like really tuned into something, unless it's, you know, new or whatever, I guess. But
would you say you're second screening while you're watching?
Oh, yeah. I'm second screening while I'm doing everything in my life. The phone is out, my man.
Yeah, not me, not me.
Hang on a second. Hang on a
second. Yeah, so that's kind of our week. And
I hope you guys are doing good. That felt like an hour to me. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
It's time.
And
Was the Lakers game fun? So it sounded like LeBron went off in the fourth quarter. Did.
It was fun. It was fun. When they play good, they just make everybody, they just seem like varsity versus everybody else's JV. Like, they don't always play that way. But when they do, because they're also mostly the oldest people in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, most of that team is like mid-30s, which is very late for basketball, except for like the three young guys.
Yeah.
And all the other teams are like fast young guys, you know? So like, when they win, they just like outsmart and out physical everybody, and they make them look like kids, you know?
Yeah.
So it was fun to watch them win handily, and it was a fine game, but yeah.
I was thinking after the game before this one that they played, that Dwight Howard's story is crazy to me. Like, a year ago, he was done. Teams didn't want him. He was like a joke in the locker rooms for like Washington, Orlando. He was like a team ruiner that people thought. How cool that he's back in the finals.
But I heard that like a lot of that like wasn't even true. It was just that he like went to small market teams and everybody was like, where is he?
Yeah.
He was playing in Atlanta and Washington and whatever. But while he was there, he was still getting like 15 boards and like all that stuff. But there did seem to be a lot of like a fall from grace for sure.
Yeah.
Well, then there was the whole like off court gossipy scandal about like, I don't even know what to talk about it because I don't remember all the details, but it was like that he was hooking up with like a trans person or in a relationship with a trans person. And then that got out.
He might have been blackmailing them or something like that.
Right. Right.
And like maybe bullying them with like some of his crew.
And then I think there was like
what the story is about that.
Right. Like league homophobia stuff.
Big and time.
Like maybe that's the reason. Like they were like, he's a locker room problem. His guys are like, ew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, which is not cool.
But beyond that, he also kind of seems like a kid. He like reminds me of myself when I get too excited.
Yeah.
Or like the coach had to give him a talking to a couple games ago because he was like, you have to focus on basketball during the games. You're being crazy.
Right. You can see it on the court too. He's like, he's just trying to out physical guys and push them around. It's like, but play by the rules.
Yeah.
Still do the rules because they will call the foul. But he's great. I love him. I love when he comes in and just like sprints and dunks on everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, this guy's still the like tallest, most athletic guy in the league. Why aren't we playing him a lot?
His body is like chiseled muscle too.
Insane.
It is so crazy.
Yeah.
I guess it reminds me of myself a little bit, which is what I like.
Yeah, what the heck? Like, when are we going to take these shirts off?
yeah, we're going to be reading some listener emails. All of the subject lines are shirts off, question mark.
And then quick replies, never mind, never mind, never mind.
Shirts off, never mind, don't do it.
Oh, boy. Well, I will say, speaking of shirts off, in the beginning of quarantine, I was doing really well with, you know, wanting to take my shirt off, whatever that was. I was losing a little bit of weight. I was eating good, exercising a lot. Then there was a period where I did the opposite of those things, and I stopped going on my little daily walks, and I started eating fast food all the time again. And it was just very interesting to see, like, oh, yeah, if I don't focus on it, it'll go away a little bit.
Yeah.
And I, like, gained a little weight back, and I was like, fuck, it's so much easier to come back than it is to take off.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a connection with, like, your mental health, too? Do you feel good?
No, I feel worse. I feel much worse because it's like, A, whatever I was feeling to get me, like, distracted from those goals that I, like, fell back into those old unhealthy habits, like, don't feel great. But then I also sort of, like, punish myself for it of, like, you loser, or, like, I knew you wouldn't stick with it. Like, these really unhealthy things that I'm trying not to do. But yeah, it's hard.
I'm fully with you. I feel like our graphs are close to each other as far as, like,
totally.
Brain and body stuff, because I'm in the same zone where I'm just like, let things build up. Definitely, like, the world being scary leads to, like, stress eating and just, like, needing quick shots of pleasure,
right?
Which is like food or like watching something instead of working or whatever,
right?
Playing video games instead of going on a walk.
Totally. I feel like we could really, like, get into our zone a little bit, and you're like, okay, we're hunkering down. You really got to figure out how to live at home, a smaller little, like, version of your life. Then you sort of figure that out, and then you go like, fuck, I just don't know if I can do this for 12 months. Mm-hmm. Like, I miss the old stuff, whatever. I also started, like, new work stuff, and I think that changed up the routine that I got so good at, and it, like, once I pulled the thread of the sweater, it was just like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I'm like, instead of being at home all day eating only the food I bought, I'm like getting fast food on the way to somewhere. Or those little things that always trip me up, like being in a rush or not having time or whatever, that, like, had been taken off my plate, you know, and, like, made me healthy.
Yeah.
Some of those got put back on, and I was like, oh, right, I have to, like, still be actively making these choices or diligent about them or whatever it is.
I got kind of, like we were talking last night about writing, and this is kind of connected to this, but, like, our friend John was, like, telling a story about this guy he knows, and, like, in a positive way, and the guy sounded like a good guy, but, like, just, like, the guy works every day, he, like, writes on a TV show, and then John was like, yeah, and he's got this great routine where he, like, after the show's done, he stays at work, and he writes from 5:30 to 7 on his own project, and what he does this other thing, and I was like, I, like, viscerally hate hearing about people like that. It puts me in a really bad mood. And I feel the same about, like, that thing with exercising, where some people are like, oh, I just meal prep on Sundays because I know I'm not going to be able to cook during the week because I'm busy with work. And then I get up in the morning and exercise. And I'm like, I think people are like that are, like, lifted up, and you hear stories about, like, these great, this is a great way to live your life. And to me, it makes me so upset.
Yeah, what makes you upset?
It's just like, well, that's not me. I'm not doing that. So, like, good for them. But it makes me feel bad about myself. And I don't think I'm going to achieve that style of life.
Right.
So, like, I don't really care about them.
Right. Well, and also, if you don't actually want that style of life, but people tell you that that's what you should aspire to, it starts to be like, maybe that's not right. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I like the way I live. Maybe I do make the choices I make for a reason. Yeah. I can get, like, defensive about that a little bit.
I think a lot of them, my perception for my whole life of, like, how the world communicates, like, culturally, how we communicate, the way I've received that is that there's, like, a right way to do things and a wrong way.
Right.
And, like, man, like, you feel like people like that are really, like, talked about as, like, some sort of, like, lifted up, like, thing to aspire to. But right. There's never a mindset of, like, we're all different. What you want is different from what they want. And, like, how can you live your life to do what you want, not what you've been told is good?
Right.
And I think that's kind of it for me. It's like, oh, I don't want to be, like, a TV writer that works on spec scripts also.
So yeah, like, I've heard being a workaholic is pretty unhealthy and like classically in the DSM-IV as a thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's not the good standard. It's like a personality type.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
We're both avoiding the same things. It's just that I'm doing it by watching TV and they're doing it by writing TV.
Yes, yes. Their things are much more productive and societally acceptable. Not yours.
Yeah,
theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Theirs. Yeah.
But yeah, there's like an... I can't even explain. There's like a Good Morning Americafication of like certain types mm-hmm. of people that's mm-hmm. like, we want to tell you this story about this wonderful person who makes you mm-hmm. look like shit every day. And it's like,
right.
I don't love the hearing about that.
Right. And this is maybe not the same thing, but the like crotchety part of me also goes like, I don't go to bed at night and dream of doing labor. Like, I don't go to bed at night and dream of like a long, hardworking life for other people. Like, that's not what I think is a happy life for me. Like, more power to you. Hard work is important and all that stuff. But like, just being a hard worker as the end to me is like the saddest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody respects you because you do so much for them.
Right.
Why is work so valuable? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think you're a better person if you've achieved a lot or made a lot of things. Like, if it makes you happy, that's great. But we shouldn't all have to do that thing.
Right.
You know?
And it would not make us happy. And
and it's also deeply tied to, like, capitalism yeah. and injustice and all that shit. And I'm like, for a lot of the liberals I know, they really want to be high-powered
at the top high powered
part of the system of yeah. the mouthpiece of capitalism. You know what I mean? And whatever. I also do. So I can't be fully anti it, but it just makes me confused sometimes of like,
yeah.
how do I feel?
I think one thing that makes me feel really far from people when those types of conversations come up about like someone else who's like doing well is like, it makes me feel like, okay, what do you want? like what you're saying, where it's like, there's like a, do you go to bed every night dreaming of that type of work life? Like, I'd rather talk right. about like what, yeah. I think just like that, like othering of success and being like, all right, cool. That's their life. What do you want? Mm-hmm. What can we connect on this?
Mm-hmm. I've also gotten, the older I've gotten, I've just been really tired of like being in the room with people and just only talking about other people or anything but each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, why are we so concerned with what everybody else is doing? What, like you're saying, like, what do we want? What do we want to do? What do we dream of? What are our, you know?
Yeah.
Why are we looking to someone else's model? Like, what do we think?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Older I get, I'm like, I don't really want to fit in to everyone else's mold. I want to like figure out my way, you know?
Yeah.
And that's been like a mental shift for me.
Same. I'm like really that mold thing, and like I think I'm really stuck. This is probably the third week in a row I've brought it up, but like stuck on the thing of like shifting my definition from like a, like whoever this higher power I've created is, that is like there's a right way to live your life and a wrong way,
right.
and be right. like, I can choose whatever I want and I right. can do it all myself, and like no one's out there judging that I did it right or wrong except for mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. and of course the big guy in the sky when I die.
Of course, capital G-O-D.
And I'm gonna, let's edit in, let's say I said big lady in the sky. Khan's a woman, everybody.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. You can't live your life for what the answer was at the end. Mm-hmm. How did he do? Well, they're dead, so it doesn't matter. Like, every single person who's ever lived dies. So it's like, you don't have to worry that much about what you did.
Yeah.
You have to worry about what you're doing. You
yeah.
know, like, what life are you living? What life do you want to live rather than like, what can you tell everyone about?
Yeah.
You know, I don't really care. But again, that's new. I used to only care. I used to only care what other people thought and only care if they thought I was cool or only care if I was accepted in that way. And now I'm like, well, whether I am or I'm not, it feels shitty to think about it constantly.
Yeah.
Even when you are accepted by like your peers or whatever, it still feels shitty to worry about it all the time.
For that to have been the goal.
Right. Right.
You're still like guided by a thing that is not self-actualized.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
you get the result you want and it still doesn't feel good because you're like, oh fuck, I wasn't even here for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I feel like a lot of that like path for me of like digging that river and like trying to like correct and course correct. It's like once I've had that those kind of thoughts and realizations that it's like, oh, not don't focus so much on like how I feel at the end and doing it right and having achieved a goal. I will like swing really hard to like, great, so I don't have to do anything. Like just whatever makes me happy in the moment. And it's like, I'm not fucking nihilist, dude.
Right.
Yeah, it's a mix of like just taking care of yourself in the future, but also in the present. And like, I think it's really sad if you're only aiming for the future and living a miserable present.
Yeah.
Because that means you're miserable forever. Because it's always now. And if you're miserable right now, that's it. That's the end of the thought.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's so funny. It's like if your thought is always like, and this will feel great tomorrow, then you're tomorrow never comes because you're always thinking about tomorrow.
Totally. There was a this just popped into my brain, but I was on vacation once in eighth grade in Florida and a Joe's Crab Shack, you know, that chain, they like dance and sing and whatever, whatever.
The Crab Shack is a little old place.
Yeah, there you go. but on the side of the building in like a very like Florida vacation destination-y place, it just had painted on the wall, free crab tomorrow. And you're like, oh, it's to like get idiots to walk up and go like every single day, like, is it today? Like, nope, it's tomorrow. That's but it funny. Is sort of that, right? It's like
that feels like a shot in like a very poignant shot in a Coen Brothers movie or something like that. That's like, oh, this is what the movie's about, but it's a little joke.
That would be a great runner in a Coen Brothers movie. Like one guy who just goes like, hey, I'm here for the free crab, like all movie. And they go, it doesn't happen. Like, and then by the end, he gets free crab or something. Well, that was a little deep convo about some of our fears and thoughts on life, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get deep on here.
I hope you're glad you're a patron. And I hope we're not crazy.
Go ahead and shoot us an email, send us feedback. Yeah. If you think we're crazy, let us know.
It's Tali and Victoria. Stay on the happy hour. Negative feedback only, please.
I forget what we started this month at, but as of recording, we're nearly at 700 patrons, which is like probably 150 new ones this month. Maybe totally. More. So if you're one of those new patrons, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Of course, extra special thanks to our day ones. For those of you that just joined us, where have you been? Could have used you 12 months ago, et cetera, et cetera. But thanks, you're here. And we're excited to send those masks to everyone. Make sure, I think we'll post one more thing. I'm still trying to figure out this thing on Patreon about your address, but we do need your address to send you a mask. So I think we'll personally send you a Patreon message if we don't have your address yet, just to make sure we can send you your free logo masks.
Right.
With our little logo.
And I'll also
here.
Just say, you know what, guys? We're going to do our best on this.
Yeah.
But this is not something we do or have done or know how to do. People keep saying, do you ship to Ireland? And my answer is never before. But maybe. You know
what
we'll
ship to you tomorrow.
I sincerely hope that we do. I sincerely hope that all I have to do is like fold a mask, put it in an envelope and put 6 stamps on it. And sure. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's going to cost $40 to send a $4 mask to someone, I'll just Venmo you the $4. No, I won't.
No, don't hold us to that. we'll say this. You will get your masks. And do you know a bankruptcy lawyer?
That's right.
But yeah, we'll be sending those out. We obviously were excited to get more listeners and depressed to get more listeners that we need to send the masks to.
We're really excited to have all the listeners and really depressed to have to follow through on the part that we said. But sincerely, thank you for everybody who does listen to this podcast. I feel like sometimes it's so crazy. Just you and me talking onto a thing and goofing. And people are like, I like this. It makes me feel better during the week. I'm like, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is keeping at least 2 people sane, you and me. And I think the other people, or we're in the freaking loony bin and
I don't even know what's going on with this.
Nose against is really funny.
Oh my God. I don't know what to say next on the pod.
If you are just listening and not watching, Ryan shoved his nose into his mic and it bent over like it was broken in a cartoon fight.
That's right. And I tell you what, my nose has real dexterity.
Wow, look at that nose go. I'm surprised you haven't been doing more nose stuff.
I know. I want to play...
That's mine?
Nose man. You have a nice nose, but man. Mine's pronounced and pointier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's give you the full profile.
And cut to Schnoz profile. What you're seeing here is Ryan's Alfred Hitchcock profile, Schnozed Out.
Welcome back to Schnozed Out. We're going to go ahead and ask our wonderful guest here to turn to the left.
Wow, that's a honker.
You are truly schnozzed out. Oh, my buddy. What are you going to do the rest of the day? Because we got big plans for the evening.
Mm-hmm. We are having we're throwing the projector on, and we're having I'll say it, masks off as close as possible, lips touching, friends watching basketball night right. At our place.
That's right.
Then we're going to do a distance viewing of the game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, Miami and Boston. You and me are big up on the Miami bandwagon, I would say. Mm-hmm. At least I am. Mm-hmm. Been really enjoying watching them.
Well, I do have the Celtics in that little thing that we have, and the only way that I can come close to winning that is if they win all the rest of the games.
Yeah,
they'd have to win. Which they will not.
They'd have to go to the finals and win the championship, right?
And I think also, like, sweep the Lakers. Oh, like, okay. The Lakers, you know, like, they can't get 4-3 wins, and anyway, I'm not going to win that. But but I do like the Celtics. My dad, when I was a very young lad, bought some stock for me in the Celtics. So I'm a partial owner, was always the joke.
Oh.
I have, like, you know, a $112 share. I didn't know you could buy
stock in basketball teams.
Oh, yeah. You can buy stock in anything.
Really?
Penny stocks? Big.
Penny stocks? Wow.
No, well, they're like stocks that are like so small that they're like literally 1 cent or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes they jump to like 6 cents. So they, you know, if you buy $20,000 at quintuples or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, hell yeah.
But it never happens.
I'm sold. I'm in.
A 1 penny stock, please.
I did a very basic study, I looked into like group economics, which I didn't know much about. Mm-hmm. And I still don't really, so I'm afraid of sounding dumb. But it was like one of those things where I knew nothing about it. And then I looked it up and like a lot of what I read was about like groups of people going in on like a mortgage together and like flipping a house and getting the money off of it and constantly doing that to build their credit, like especially in like underserved communities or like, you know, general, it was specifically with Black communities when I was reading it about, because it's like one of the things that makes it harder to prosper is credit scores and shit like that, that it's like an unfair system. But it also made me think of like, oh, us and our friends could do something like that too, where everyone just like, you get like 15 people to put $2,500 into a house somewhere and like flip it and build your credit.
Right.
I don't know that I could actually do it. It's a lot of work. Somebody has to take on all that shit, but it's an interesting thought that I just don't think money at all.
Right. Well, it's like, I don't have enough for a down payment, but 5 of us have enough for a down payment and I could maybe pay the monthly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that... my cousin used to do stuff like that where he would work with like small communities on like microloans where they would like help a community pool money so that they could buy one resource or whatever that would then work for that community or whatever. I don't remember what the example was. I think it was like honestly like a rural community of farms by like pitching in to get a goat. And then they had like goat milk and all this stuff. And then they like made money off of having the goat and then like did it again to get a cow or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it's like none of us could individually afford that. But now we all get to have this. It is a cool idea.
Yeah. And it works. I know like whoever the dude is that like kind of first came up with the microloaning lending like won the Nobel Peace Prize, or I'm so down a rabbit hole of half knowledge here.
I know,
but it is hard. Like as you and me, like hyper progressive, but like not super read up on things. People, it does feel like everything we believe when it's put into action seems to be proven right. Like the idea, and like, I mean, like general progressive people who like share our beliefs, where it's like, yeah, access to resources is a huge issue. And if you just solve that instead of being like, here's $250,000, do something with it. But being like, here are the resources you need, build upon it. Like any community can succeed when you do that.
Right. And I mean, like, the rich people in the economy are already doing group economics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're all investing together, and but they're doing it in, like, a predatory way. Like,
right.
Rather than building up, they're like, oh, we'll just buy all that and then suck the stuff out of it. Mm-hmm. You know? But it is like, yeah, you got to have a little bit of money to, like, invest to get something out of it. In our, I don't know enough about this. Did you Google group economics because you saw it on an NBA jersey?
I think Iguodala maybe has it on his jersey.
Yes, me too. Yeah, I literally Googled it because he had it.
He had it, and then one of the Instagrams I follow, like, showed a series of tweets of, like, someone just going down the thread of being like, here is how you can do this type of thing. And so it made me curious about it because I had already heard of it from Iguodala's jersey.
Right. Yeah, I mean, sounds amazing.
It is a funny jersey because so many of them are like, say her name, Black Lives Matter. And then it's like group economics. I have no fucking idea what that is, but it's smart because it makes you curious about it.
Right. Yeah. I looked, by the way, I know we're not doing the screen time and overall well-being and all that stuff every time now. I did get a random notification of my screen time, and it is way up. Something like 9 hours last week.
Wow.
Which is, what was I even doing?
Texting, phone calls type of stuff. I can take it up. Listening to music.
Right.
I mean, you are writing your novel on your phone, right?
I'm doing a phone novel, yeah.
How does that feel to have it up to 9? Do you feel like, oh, shit?
Or I don't just know. Like, whoa, that's a whirlwind.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, as well as me gaining weight and eating fast food, it's like, who knew I was staring at my phone for 9 hours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like clearly I've gone into like numb.
Yeah.
Numb, just like, oh, I don't know. I'm dissociating and just not really being present.
I'll tell you, it is tough to open your phone and be like, hey, the guy doing all the scary things isn't leaving, he told us. So it's like, okay, fuck.
And those fires really fucked up my like schedule because I was like, oh, it's not safe to go outside for 1 week. And I think I'm still having residual of that. And I'm, you know, it was long before the fires that I was unhealthy. But that was really like a linchpin of like, you can't even try to get back out there. You just have to stay inside. And when I was scared, I was, of course, eating.
Yeah, so, same.
You know.
But the good thing is all of those things are in flux. Mm-hmm. Nothing, I think that mindset of like that I have that can be like beating myself up or like fucking looking in the mirror and just being like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
You idiot. That's all stuff that is not forever.
I feel like I'm happy that I'm like noticing it and realizing it, but not really mad at myself for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm not, you loser. Like sometimes I have those little thoughts, but I wouldn't say that's the attitude I'm carrying around generally about it. I'm more like, oh yeah, what happened was I stayed inside and started eating a bunch again.
Yeah.
There's no judgment attached to it. It's just, of course, I'm the product of a week of only fast food.
Yeah.
That's what this looks like, you know, or whatever.
I think for me, it's like the words in my, I think it's been only recently where I'm realizing the words in my head can be mean, even though I'm not saying it in a mean way.
Totally.
Where it's just like, oh, you look like shit today. Oh man, you fucking ate again. That's crazy, man. Like that kind of thing or whatever it is. I don't sit around being like, you, Ike, are you kidding me? You disgusting loser. But it is just kind of constant droll of like negativity just popping up. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think it is. It's less about the words and more about the like perspective of like, why am I even looking through this lens?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the words may not be really incendiary, but man, like if this was someone else, I would be being so mean to them.
Yes. Yeah.
As judgmental of others as I am to myself, like verbally in a room, I would sound so unacceptably rude.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, damn, that's how I talk to myself. I started reading and then took a big pause on a great book about this called, what's it called? conquering your critical inner voice. And they talk about like this inner voice and where it comes from and why it is often so like negative or whatever. And it's really, really good. Mm. Conquer your critical inner voice. And it's like, it's exactly about what we're talking about of like first realizing that it is like really critical and then like hearing it, catching it in the moment and then replacing it with the new thoughts you actually want to have, right? It's like, because usually it's not your own voice. It's like an internalized voice that you've adopted,
right?
Like from a parent or a authority figure or a coach or whatever who was like very critical. And you're like, yes, I should be that critical of myself. Nobody's born hating themselves.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, you know? It's interesting.
Yeah. I think that is like fully it too. Like, I think like a thing in the sense of like the voice for me, not necessarily being critical, but not like tonally mean, is mm-hmm. like, it really makes me think of, I think like my dad and how I never felt like he was critical of me, but I also never got like positive feedback.
Right.
And so I projected a lot of criticism. And like when I did get feedback, it was negative, that type right. of thing. I have like a very direct memory of me like in college. And we like had this whole debacle happen where when he and my mom met, like he had bought a motel in a small town called Page, and that's like how he made his money. And we made our money. And anyway, sold those, moved away, and then had the guy just bailed that he sold them to through like a series of events. So we had to go back and take care of him for a couple of years. So I was like doing that on my summer vacation. And I walked we were staying in the hotel rooms, and I walked into the room he was in, and he just went, "Ugh, your breath stinks." And it was just one of those things where it's like, I just fucking woke up on my summer vacation in a place where I'm like here for the family. Right. And I never got a thank you from him, but I did get a "your breath right. stinks." And it's like, right. that is the voice in my head a little bit.
Well, that, to me, that does sound very critical.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, he's not being that critical. Well, and it's like, I think it feels that way because it's like, oh, he's my dad. It's how he yeah. talks. But that is objectively, like, to be talked to that way by someone is, like, critical. It's like...
Yeah. I think I couch it in that, like softening it because it is... They are the things that stick with me paint, like, a much more negative picture than, like, the whole person. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm like sensitive to that when I like talk publicly about it, even though.
Right. Of course.
Yeah,
you're not talking about every part of him. You're talking right. about this one thing we're talking about.
But yeah. It is critical. And it's like, mm-hmm. and there wasn't a ton of like, wow, you did a great job on this, which is like, would be a nice voice to have in my head, but isn't really there.
Mm-hmm. 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 Even knowing that somebody is like watching you in that way,
yeah.
if they're not saying mean words. It's like you are being critiqued constantly,
mm-hmm.
you know, or at least that's my experience of like with it of like, regardless of what's being said, like I know what I need to do. And it's like, not mess up, don't make a mistake, don't embarrass anybody, whatever. And it's like, oh, that's a lot of pressure for the youngest person in the family. Why is that yeah. the youngest person in the family's job? Shouldn't that be the adult's job? You know?
Yeah.
But to have that put on you and like then internalize that like that's your purpose or function is like really shame inducing and guilt producing and can be really unhealthy.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things in that book that it talks about is that like this voice, because it's usually like an internalized critical voice from somebody that like you trust or something like that, it can make you be very like in like a victim state because you're used to hearing it from someone that is like you place above you, you know? So if you continue to have this voice, it kind of, you can live in that state of like, I'm stupid or I'm not capable or I couldn't fix it if I tried. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that the book said is like, as an adult, you have agency in your life that you didn't have when you were a kid. But these feelings are still like very childlike. So like as an adult, no adult needs to like have that victim mentality because you have agency. If you want to go somewhere else, you can go somewhere else. You can move. You can end a relationship. You can like, you get to make adult choices. And so you have the agency to not be that victim that as a kid or whenever that internalized voice started happening, you literally didn't have
mm-hmm.
because your parent had to feed you and all that stuff. And you like didn't have the choice. And realizing as an adult that like you fully do have all the choice and autonomy, like take some of that power back, I think.
Yeah.
And that was a cool learning experience for me.
Yeah. Because it like shifted your own view of like your own power to your life.
Exactly. The one is the assumption that like I have no power and whatever I do is based on a judgment of how someone else views it.
Yeah.
And the other one is like, you make your choices and that's the end of the thought. You know, and it's like there's so much more power in that because you're not judging it. You're like just living it, mm-hmm. you know.
And
that was the other thing they said is like anytime you're being critical or judging yourself, you're one step removed from actually being yourself. You're like watching yourself be yourself and mm-hmm. commenting on it, which is not the same as living your life. It's like living just outside of your life as if you're not you and criticizing you.
Yeah.
And it's like you got to integrate back into yourself and like make your choices for you. Sorry, this got so...
I know, I'm with
whatever.
You. This sucked, dude. I was waiting for you to shut up, and finally you did. No, I think...
There's that voice again.
I think it's also, like, as you were saying that, it makes me think of, like, the person who did it to us, because they were judging separately, were worried about the vulnerability of us failing and how it reflected on them. And then that creates it in myself where it's like, I'm worried about the vulnerability of myself failing. So if I can judge it separately, I'm never fully vulnerable to the thing I'm putting out there. Cause I'm like, no, I agree that I sucked there and I was thinking about how it sucked the whole time. So I'm never fully.
I knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Totally. It's like the simple version or like the sad one as a kid is like making fun of myself for being fat before other people do.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that still hurt my feelings.
Someone still called me fat and everyone agreed and laughed or whatever.
Right. Exactly. It's like, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
It feels shitty. But anyway, so anyone out there struggling, you're great. You're awesome. Whatever you think that sucks about yourself, don't worry about it.
It doesn't.
You're great.
It doesn't matter.
You need to be.
Yeah. I mean, it does matter if it matters to you, but it doesn't matter to, you know what I'm trying to say.
But that's the biggest thing. Does it matter to you?
Yeah.
You're the only one who can ever live your life. There's not going to be anyone inside controlling your feelings, and you're the only one who has to feel them every day. So you should, that's all you have to worry about.
Yeah.
Is how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, if I feel great, then I feel great. And if I feel shitty, then I feel shitty and I need to deal with that. Because it's my feelings, not someone else's, you know? Anywho.
No, I love it. I'd like to...
I read a lot of these, I guess you could call them psychology books. I guess you could call them self-help books. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot, but I'm into them.
Own it. Even that is like societally like judged a little bit, right? Where it's like...
Right.
I think that's great to own it. Like those mean something to you. And I learn a lot from you reading them. So it's great to have.
Well, and anytime somebody sort of does push back or judge me, I immediately realize in the conversation, like what a child they are. Uh-huh. You know, like it doesn't frustrate me or intimidate me because it's like someone who has not done the reading going, isn't that actually crazy? And it's like, well, I don't know. Have you read the book? So then what are we talking about?
Yeah.
I've done the reading on the science-based research. You have not. Probably you don't get it, right? Like, why would I cower over having gained knowledge?
Yeah.
You know? Like, just because you haven't seen something before doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So learning stuff is cool. You have that in your back pocket now.
Wow, what did that? That made me think of something, and then my brain is like melted. I lost the thought, but I agree with you.
Yeah, we always do.
We always agree. Oh, what it made me think of is... like when you made a point and I thought it was a good point, I didn't have anything to add and just kind of let it sit. I noticed that a lot with the basketball announcers where it'll happen a lot when like Chris Webber or Mark Jackson like makes a point on Black Lives Matter. And instead of like full-throated agreement from like Jeff Van Gundy or Stan or whatever, they'll just let it sit, which I think is like nice and kind of meaningful. It's like, and they probably have nothing to add, but sometimes it feels like they disagree and because you can't see them.
Right.
So you're like, oh, do they just not want to talk?
Silence was deafening here for a split second. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You definitely don't want to be a topper on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you also, a solid verbal nod of agreement is helpful. Well said, guys.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Thanks for sharing that, guys. That's wonderful.
Well, thanks Dan, for sharing yourself here today, Ryan.
Yeah, and you as well. I like all these little chatties.
One last thing we wanted to do. We've talked on a couple of episodes, and especially recently ended them with people talking about getting out and voting and being as present as you can and active as you can and want to be. And I felt like a little... Every time I read the news, I feel like a little crazy and don't know what to do. So I just started, did the first step of like Googling, like, what fucking can I do? And so we put together some links that we'll put in the episode description here of just like little places to get information on local measures. You can find like your state and your area and local propositions to support and get behind, and ways to vote bank and like help the with the ACLU and obviously donate and stuff like that. I'm hoping that that will motivate me to do those things and feel at least a little more in control of my place in life. And we hope that listeners feel that way too.
Yeah, hopefully these links that Dan found for us all can be a little head start or a place to start for you guys to then follow your own research. What's your local stuff? What are the measures? What are the judges? Who's doing what? Everybody's got to do a little bit, you know?
Yeah, if for no other reason than to just be like, well... At least I took off, didn't watch one episode of Entourage so that I could make 30 minutes of phone calls.
That's right.
Or whatever
That's
you're right. watching right now for me.
Yeah. For you, it's been Entourage for the last 10 years.
I took a few years off. I'm just back now.
Yeah. You had to let it get fresh again.
I don't know if Vince is going to shoot this Airwalker movie. His public persona is a little bit fucked because of his relationship with Sasha Grey and his drug problem.
Is that the fire one? No, that's
no. It doesn't end up happening. It's a Marvel movie that he's supposed to shoot that he craps the bed on because of his partying lifestyle. But don't worry, next season he's sober and it's not a big deal.
Yeah, good. Well, Dan, wonderful as always. Thanks for doing it, and thanks for everyone at home for listening and supporting the Patreon. And I hope you have a good week.
Yeah, this is our official last episode of September, so thanks for joining us on our 1-year anniversary.
Yeah,
if you just joined us, you know, for the month of support and to give us masks, thanks for masks. Thanks for being here. We hope you stick around, but if not, we appreciate you joining us for September and keep listening to the free episodes.
And you know. Tell your buds, share it on the internet, do whatever you like to do. The more people that listen to the thing that you're listening to, the more friends you have to talk about it with.
That's great. Know. Yeah. Wasn't it nice to share in art and creativity with somebody else?
That's right.
What's going on the Discord? Are we done? Do we need to talk about that? I haven't been on the Discord in a while.
I don't really go on there. There's not a ton happening.
Like father, like son kind of thing. We don't do the Discord. So everyone's
nobody else cares either. I love the people on there. Everybody's doing... Great fun stuff, but it's a little quiet. I will say our buddy John Mackey, ever since he started his Twitch stream, has a very active Discord, which go check it out. It's a lot of fun happening over there. But I think with Twitch, because everybody's responding during the piece anyway, it's like baked into the culture a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's communal in that way.
We're a little more removed. We got a little bit more of a fourth wall.
Yeah.
But go check out John's Discord and Twitch show.
That's
How
a great
you been
plug.
With Brett DeMott? I mean, this guy is funny. He's a great host, consummate host, hilarious guests. I think it's really fun.
Yeah, it's and it's recorded 10 feet from where I am right now.
You guys got a little content mansion over there.
I mean, I can't believe they haven't done a story about the content mansion here. There's the TikTok house, there's the Vine house on Vine. Right. But
you guys are in the MySpace.
The MySpace
shithole?
Yes. It's the MySpace shithole. And Tom is not here, unfortunately.
Well, that's okay.
But yeah, please check that out. Of course, support John and his Twitch stream.
But then,
stream
you know, spend some time on his Discord. Come back. Light ours up a little bit. You know?
We're giving you the control. We're saying we are not touching this thing. It's all you. So if it dies,
all you can do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want.
Piss on it. I don't care.
Yeah, get on there, take a piss.
Wait.
It's your phone.
Yeah. It's your phone. Okay. Let's wrap it up.
That's a wrap, folks.
That's a wrap.